That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
There has been a lot of talk about Sean Diddy Combs lately. The raids, the accusations, the lawsuits, a potential criminal case. Now let's talk to you about if he does get arrested and charged, what would his defenses be? For that, we bring on Bradford Cohen, acclaimed defense attorney to the Hip Hop Stars. Welcome to Sidebar, presented by Law and Crime. I'm Jesse Weber. As we dive more into these shocking raids on properties linked to rapper, producer, entertainment mogul Sean Diddy Combs, and as we talk about potential charges he could face, let's talk about potential defenses. And that can get a little tricky. We'll talk about it. So first, let me just say what we're talking about. We're referring to the fact that just days ago, federal agents swarmed these Diddy properties in Miami and Los Angeles. Reporting suggests that this was pursuant to an ongoing investigation potentially connected to sex trafficking. Reporting indicates that electronics, guns, documents were seized. At the time of this recording, though, neither Diddy nor any of his family members or associates have been arrested in connection with this investigation. However, Brendan Paul, Diddy's alleged drug mule who had been accused in a lawsuit of supplying the rapper with guns and drugs, he was arrested in Miami on two drug possession counts, made bail, he's out. But talking about those lawsuits for a second, these raids, this reported investigation, comes on the heels of multiple lawsuits that were filed against Diddy in the past several months. That includes one from Cassandra Ventura, who accused Diddy of sexually assaulting her, beating her, forcing her into sexual slavery, sex trafficking. She and Diddy actually settled that case the day after that lawsuit. But then, as we discussed, there was more lawsuits. There was a recent lawsuit that has actually just been amended, and it was filed by Rodney Jones, a former producer of Diddy. The lawsuit is not only against Sean Diddy Combs, but his son Justin, several of Diddy's companies, even actor Cuba Gooding Jr. It contains allegations of sexual assault, harassment, violations of a sex trafficking statute. He also recounts instances of gun possession, multiple shootings, threats, minors, sex workers, prostitutes, drugs. It's a heavy lawsuit. It's a heavy lawsuit, to say the least. But as his attorney, Diddy's attorney, correctly pointed out, Aaron Dyer, in a statement after these raids, quote, "There has been no finding of criminal or civil liability with any of these allegations." That is true. No charges have been filed yet. He hasn't been convicted of anything. The lawsuits are still pending. He goes on to say Mr. Combs is innocent and will continue to fight every single day to clear his name. That is what I want to talk about right now. Potential defenses. And for that, let me bring back on special guest here on Sidebar, acclaimed defense attorney Bradford Cohen, who has famously represented stars like Drake, YNW Melly, Kodak Black, joins us now. Bradford, good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
You know what I'm going to ask you before we even get into anything about the defenses? Your reaction to this news this week.
You know, I've lived down here for probably, the majority of my adult life. I moved down here when I was 21 years old. So it's a very small community, and there's always chatter about things that go on in Miami and the individuals that are roaming around in Miami. I was surprised by the manpower and the attention that this got, because generally that's reserved for really, really serious stuff, the way that they came in. And the way that they conducted this raid and simultaneously conducted a raid in California, that tends to give you the idea that there is something there with these raids that they were specifically looking for.
I'm interested you were surprised, because if you read the allegations against Diddy just in the lawsuits, and we don't know if the lawsuits fueled this investigation, it seemed like they're substantial weapons in the house. Diddy implicated in multiple shootings in that lawsuit. There was an allegation that he blew up Kid Cudi's car. You're dealing with massive properties. You don't know where anybody is, if there's secret rooms. So I can't say I'm not surprised that level of manpower.
I was surprised at the level of manpower, and I was surprised that there was no leaks about it. That was the bigger surprise, because generally when it's someone of that level and that they're conducting an investigation. And the reason why I think that there were no even kind of hints at it, nobody was getting interviewed or saying that they were being interviewed, is because it appears that this is out of the Southern District of New York and not a Southern District of Florida case. I believe if it was a Southern District of Florida case, because so many defense attorneys represent so many individuals and we're a very tight network, someone would have said, hey, my client was being interviewed for a possible this or a possible that. I think that was more surprising than anything, that they just conducted this raid and no one even had an idea that the feds were interviewing people.
That's really interesting. Before we even get into the defenses, so the idea here, when everybody's like, oh, you know, Diddy might have fled, he might be in another country, that would presume that he knew this was happening or he had some sort of tip and got out of there beforehand. Nothing to indicate that. I actually believe he's still in the country, but so that's interesting. You're saying that it would tend to prove that he didn't just flee the country because he would have had to have some advance notice. And especially when we're dealing with not just, not the FBI, but we're dealing with Homeland Security. It's probably likely he wasn't tipped off and had advance notice to do something.
Yeah, no, my inkling is that he was not tipped off. This was probably a vacation that he had planned or something like that. Because to think that the feds did not know that he was getting on a private plane and flying anywhere when they're conducting a raid on two of his houses, you're underestimating what the federal authorities know. When they're conducting a raid, they know exactly where that individual is, probably by his cell phone or by his social media. They know what planes he owns. They know what boats he owns. And when you fly private, there is a list of who's on your plane, and you have to file that with the feds. So the aviation would be on notice about who's on that plane, where they're going, all those things. So to think that he was like getting on a plane and escaping the country without the feds knowing where he's going would be a very silly idea to have, because I don't believe that to be true.
All right, let's get into some defenses here. Now, of course, we don't know what he would be charged with, if anything, but based on the reporting, we can make some theories. And before we even get into that, you know, I asked Meek Mill's attorney on a prior sidebar, and I'm going to ask you the same question. If you were representing Diddy right now, what would you advise him to do?
Well, you first advise everyone to keep their mouth shut. That's the number one golden rule of being a defense attorney, is there's nothing that you can say that is going to change a federal authority's mind if they want to make an arrest or get an indictment. You're not going to go in and say, hey, listen, I made a mistake, or this wasn't true. None of that ever happens. And when anyone ever tries to make excuses, usually they dig themselves deeper, because the feds might already know more than what you think they know. Right. So when you give a statement, now they're also getting you for lying to a federal authority, which is also one of their favorite crimes. So the number one thing is to keep your mouth shut. Then the number two thing is to start getting ahead of the ball and investigating exactly what the accusations are. The accusations in this case, they've made clear, have to do with sex trafficking and weapons possession and things of that nature. So now you have to get ahead of the ball, find out what weapons they seized, who owns those weapons. The pictures that I saw, it looks like there's a gun safe in a, what looks like some sort of break room, because there was like a mini refrigerator in there. That could have been his securities room. So his security is allowed to be armed. Anyone that doesn't have a felon on their record is allowed to be armed. So you want to find out what weapons they seized and then start doing history on those weapons, who owns them, when's the last time they used them, things of that nature. The feds will do DNA and fingerprints on any weapons found in the home, because they're going to try and prove that someone that shouldn't have possession of them had possession of them at one time. So that's something else you got to look into. And then also the accusations of sex trafficking. Obviously, you want to start getting ahead of the ball and trying to get interviews of individuals that may have knowledge of any of those accusations and start getting statements from them and hopefully be able to use those going forward.
Yeah,
where they might have a statement that is out there from some 5 years ago that may contradict what's going on now. So you want to start getting a list of names of individuals that you want to start doing background checks on.
Hey, everybody. So I want to thank Morgan & Morgan for sponsoring this episode of Sidebar. Always love talking about them. Now, here is the incredible thing about Morgan & Morgan, and one of the reasons why I like talking about them so much.
Hey, say something about our big wins.
you're not supposed to come on camera. The reason Morgan & Morgan, America's largest personal injury law firm, is so big, and I'm sure you can guess it, is because they win a lot. And that's
don't forget huge verdicts.
Yeah, I was. They've won big verdicts, $6.8 million in New York, $26 million in Philadelphia. You see, the thing about them is they don't settle for lowball insurance offers from insurance companies, which is something.
Mention that you can submit a claim from your couch at home and on your phone.
Dan? They've completely modernized the process by submitting your claim, talking to your legal team. It's all done straight from your smartphone. Again, that's something
eight
that.
Eight clicks or less.
Eight clicks or less. Yes. You can see if you have a case in just a few minutes.
We have over a thousand lawyers.
All right. Now. You know what, Dan? If you really think you can do better, maybe you should just do it yourself.
What Jesse was getting at is if you've ever been injured in an accident, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. You can submit a claim in eight clicks or less. To start your claim, just visit forthepeople.com/LCSidebar.
You came a little too close to me. It hurt me a little bit. I'm probably actually going to have to hire you guys now, but that was well said. That was well said. NBC had reported that there were several people who have been interviewed by federal authorities in Manhattan and in relation to, quote, allegations of sex trafficking, sexual assault, solicitation, distribution of illegal narcotics and firearms. Again, we do not know what the precise charges would be, what they're exactly looking for, but presuming that's what we're looking at, right? Let's actually start with the firearms. I thought that was so fascinating because you were mentioning who actually possessed them, right? So illegal possession of firearms. If his security had the weapons or someone else had the weapons, and I know there, I mentioned Brendan Paul was the alleged drug mule. He was the source of the weapons. If they're in Diddy's house or on their on Diddy's property, is he criminally liable? Even if he never touched the weapons, even if he never bought the weapons, never registered the weapons, could he be criminally liable, Diddy?
So it's not a short answer. Generally speaking, if you are a convicted felon or you're someone who's prohibited from having a firearm, if someone else is in your house with a firearm, if you have security that has firearms, if they have a safe like it looked like in this home, that was a gun safe, it looked like it was for long rifles. If those things are present just in your house, but you don't have access, you don't touch them, you don't handle them, generally speaking, that's a very weak case against someone. The short answer is, can they file against you? Sure, they can file against anybody. But the long answer is that would be a very difficult case to prove without DNA, fingerprints, or video cameras that they say were in the home. If there's video evidence, sometimes your own cameras rat you out, where there's video evidence of you handling a weapon in your own home, and then they would have to prove that that weapon was one that they found and was an actual firearm. So there's a couple different steps there. It's very difficult to prove, like I said. I mean, I just walked a guy on a federal case about a month ago on a felon in possession of a firearm. They had DNA. He was rapping about it in a video. They had pictures of him holding the gun. And we still got a not guilty because a lot of times it's very difficult to prove those cases unless you find it on the person, as opposed to that there's DNA on it, because you sneeze and you can get DNA on something. So if something's present in your home, but you don't own it and you don't possess it, and your DNA is somehow on it, that's not an open and shut case by any stretch of the imagination. And that's why I ended up getting a not guilty on that federal firearms case last month.
Yeah, because if it's coupled with, let's say I presume that Rodney Jones, that producer, is one of the witnesses that's cooperating with law enforcement, says, I saw him with all these guns, and then they find weapons in the property. You know, you couple that testimony with finding the weapons, you could make a case against Diddy, but there's so many of these loopholes that we might not have been thinking of. I assume that's the same thing with narcotics. If narcotics are found in the house, tying it back to Diddy, is it different? Is it different? Illegal substances I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course it is, because, you know, listen, I've represented a lot of entertainers through my 27 years. Drug cases, gun cases, other cases such as this. The fact is that everybody always wants the top dog. Like, the feds don't want Rodney Smith or whoever it is. They don't want any of those people. They don't want the drug mule. They'll probably give that guy immunity. They don't want any of these people. Who they want is whoever is the top dog in that, because that's what gives them the press. So the question is, can they charge him with drugs that are found in his home when he's not even present in the home? They don't know the last time he was in that house. They don't know where he was in the home. It's very difficult. There's specific case law that makes it even harder to prove some sort of constructive possession when you're not even present in the home. Now, especially when it comes to entertainers, that they have parties in their house, they have cleaning crews, they have security, they have butlers, they have all these different people that are in the house, and it's very difficult to prove. It's like, you know, they found cocaine in the White House. It certainly wasn't Joe Biden's, but you know, the issue becomes, whose is it? Because there's so many people coming and going, it's very difficult to prove. Now, how do they narrow that down? If there's DNA on the baggie, if there's a fingerprint on the baggie, if it's found in his, you know, his bedstand next to his bed, there's different ways to narrow it down. But like I said, it is a very difficult case to prove. Again, I've gotten a lot of dismissals and not guilties just based on that constructive possession law, where it is hard to prove, especially when someone is not even in the home when they find these items.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And you mentioned the electronic devices, which we believe were confiscated. So, look, if there's camera footage, right, and there was an allegation that Diddy records everything on his cameras, but also if someone records something on their phone, right, him ingesting a drug or possessing a drug or possessing a weapon, that is obviously going to be key for prosecutors. So you mentioned what could be potential charges there, right? You know, narcotics and firearms. Let's get into the big one here, the human trafficking one. And I'm curious to talk about potential defenses, because when we're talking about human trafficking, right, we're generally speaking is when you exploit somebody for labor or services or commercial sex, and more specifically for sex trafficking, it's the recruitment, the harboring, the transporting, the soliciting someone for the purposes of commercial sex, and it's usually through the use of fraud or force or coercion, or if the person, the victim, is a minor under 18 years old. Now, I would assume one defense could be, assuming we're not talking about minors, we're not talking about underage people, we're talking about adults. I assume one defense to sex trafficking could be, and tell me if I'm wrong, that the purported victims consented?
Sure. There's many defenses, right? So a lot of times you find in these human trafficking or, you know, another big one in Florida is living off the money of a prostitution, which is essentially pimping. A lot of times you find that the individuals who are involved is either, or a couple different things. One is, if there's consent, if this isn't some situation where he's forcing them to do something because he's holding something over their head, or he's, you know, somehow making them do it through a threat of violence. There is a difference between that and hiring a prostitute. Hiring a prostitute, some federal agents would argue that the hiring of a prostitute is somehow involving themselves in sex trafficking itself. Really, I guess the individuals that would be charged with the sex trafficking in that prostitution kind of case would be the individuals who are actually, quote unquote, forcing the women into whatever slavery it is to provide services for men who are paying for it. The John at the end of the rainbow there isn't the sex trafficker. So the other defense to this is, or possibility, and I don't know the facts or circumstances that are surrounding this, is that hiring a prostitution in itself is not sex trafficking. Now, we go to the complaints that have been filed, and those complaints, you know, argue against that, you know, all these complainants were not willing participants. And that's a real issue. That's a real problem, because what they do now is those complaints, there were so many complaints filed and so much dirt thrown. And I think in this newest complaint, the one in South Florida, I read through it, and my guess is that there is a lot of puffery in it. I think that that individual probably approached Sean early and tried to get money out of him. And why that happened was the settlement with Casey. So the settlement was with Casey, I think, was so, and that's his ex-girlfriend, was so reported on, and it was so quickly that it made, you know, it was like rain and the worms came out on the sidewalk. It just brought everyone and anyone out to possibly sue Sean over allegations of anything. Because I think that that was the dinner bell, and everyone came to the party. So the newest allegations, the newest complaint, I think there's some in there, and I don't know all of it, but I think there's a majority of it that is a lot of puffery.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot of posturing where that guy, you know, wants to get, you know, taken off the table, but I think it's too late for that. Well, so there's no settlements going on at this point. It is what it is.
Now a counter argument to that would be, yes, we're talking about the civil arena, right? We're talking about these lawsuits. The standard of proof is different, but also you're still dealing with the same kind of issues of credibility if these people who are suing Diddy become government witnesses. I totally get it. The counter argument to that would be, and tell me if I'm wrong, if the allegation is I was sex trafficked because I was forced to do A, X, Y, and Z, I was transported to X, Y, and Z, I was forced into these sex acts because I was under the promise I was getting paid and I was never paid. You know, one of the things that I keep remembering from the Rodney Jones case is that he thought he had a contract and thought he was going to be paid a certain amount. He says he was not paid what he was agreed to be paid. And he was forced into these different kinds of situations and was exposed and harassed and assaulted. So the idea is, yeah, I'm coming after the money now, not because it's a money grab, but because you promised me something. And that fraudulent promise is an element of sex trafficking. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. The problem is that they are asking not for the payment that they're owed. They're asking for substantially more. So my guess would be this guy in the Southern District of Florida that filed, he was probably demanding $20 million when maybe the contract was for, you know, $100,000.
Right.
And I think the same thing with Casey is that her demand was not based in the law, because they weren't married. They were boyfriend and girlfriend, and her demand wasn't based in the law. It was based in her saying, hey, I'm going forward with these allegations. These are really going to hurt you. And this is what it's worth.
Right.
And unfortunately, when you deal with a lot of individuals, like I deal with a lot of high net worth individuals, they get these lawsuits or they get these threats on a daily basis. The problem is you have to know, you know, like Kenny Rogers says, you know, you got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. And when to walk away and when to run.
And
to be quite honest with you, the Casey lawsuit was one that you had to fold very early because she was so close to him. She wouldn't be considered someone like this guy who filed in the Southern District of Florida. She would be considered more credible because she was with him that long. She had history with him. There was a lot of inside baseball that she knew. And that was probably the one that should have been settled. And that probably would have called it a day for everything else that was going on.
What do you do if the victims of in this alleged sex trafficking charge, these counts, what do you do if they're minors? Do you attack the idea, because consent won't work, do you attack the idea of they weren't transported, they weren't harbored, they weren't solicited? You say, we never had sexual relations with them. I mean, how do you defend? It feels like a much more difficult case to defend if the victims are minors.
If the victims are minors, it becomes a whole different kind of animal. It is much more difficult to defend. It becomes a different kind of case. Cross-examining minors is a different specialty. It's a different tool in the toolbox than you have when you're cross-examining, someone who you feel is just lying through their teeth and is out for the cash. So those are way more difficult to defend. Yes, the defenses that you mentioned, some of those are valid. Obviously, I didn't realize she was underage isn't a defense because it's a strict liability type crime. where, you know, you could say, oh, I met this young lady in a bar. So like, how could she be under 18? The bar is 21. That often is a mitigator, but it is not a ultimate defense to the crime itself. So the ultimate defense to that crime would be that there was no sexual interaction, that there was no benefit to it, that it was, it was something other than what they're making it out to be, or that it's a money grab, you know, that these people aren't telling the truth, or that the real individual who should be liable is whoever was pimping that person. And the fact is that they took advantage of the defendant and his lack of knowledge of how old the individual was because they were going to use it to their advantage. So there's different ways to attack it, but it is a completely different animal.
Now, assuming for the moment that we're saying, let's say Diddy didn't have any physical contact with these purported victims. Let's say he didn't have sex with them at all, but members of his entourage did. Let's say he tried to pimp them out to celebrities, to friends, and there was this network, this sex trafficking ring, right? Sure. Would a defense be from Diddy, I didn't know what was going on, okay? I don't know who these people were. I have handlers. I have bodyguards. They were doing whatever. Just people were at my house. I didn't ask who was happening. It's too big of an organization. Maybe even say, I had a substance abuse problem. I didn't know what was going on. I wasn't in my right mind. I was high. I was drunk. I was speculating whether or not that could be something that could be explored, and if you've ever seen it work before.
It can always be explored. The I was too high or drunk is, like, again, a mitigator. It could be I was too high or drunk to know what was happening, you know, at my parties. I didn't invite these people. I didn't know who was present. Sure, that could be somewhat of a defense. The bigger defense is that I never had contact with these individuals. I only, you know, I invite people to my parties. They show up. I don't know what goes on at the parties. I don't direct what goes on at the parties. I don't make introductions to individuals. Those are just people that I know in the industry. Everybody kind of knows these people in the industry. And what happens just happens. That defense, I don't know how strong it would be depending on the testimony. And listen, this is going to be very heavily driven on camera footage, on electronics, on digital, like I said, the feds don't have evidence to make an arrest. They have evidence to make a conviction. That's what they're looking for. Whether or not they could indict someone, they could indict, you know, anyone. They could find enough evidence to indict anyone on the planet. That's not what they're looking for. They're looking for enough evidence. When they bring a case, they're looking for enough evidence to convict. That's why they have a 99% conviction rate. That's why the Southern District of New York is the Southern District of New York. It's a very serious district. I've had cases in the Southern District, the Eastern District, and those prosecutors that they have in those districts are, you know, they don't just hire someone from, you know, and no slight to Cumberland Law School, but they're not hiring someone from any tier other than a first tier law school.
Right.
And those are the individuals that they hire there, and they hire them for a reason, because it's one of the busiest districts in the country.
Oh, yeah. Look, this is I wouldn't be surprised if we are going to see charges down the line. And look, you mentioned you can go after not only the digital evidence, the credibility of witnesses. There's always, you can poke your argument against the prosecution and law enforcement. But yeah, so they have a number of different arguments. I did want to ask you this, though. I think they're going to charge him. I do. Based on everything that you've said, based on everything that we've seen. Having said that, let's say after all of this, the raids, everybody talking about it, if they come up with nothing, if I don't even know if they say, issuing a statement, say at this time, our investigation is closed, they do not charge Diddy. Does he have any legal action against the government? Because they arguably put him in an embarrassing situation, seemingly harmed his reputation. Would he have any action against them?
Unfortunately, no, because, you know, regarding the raids on his house, those were done pursuant to a search warrant that a judge reviewed. Unless there was a lie in that search warrant, if the search warrant was truthful and the affidavit that was attached to that search warrant was truthful, they are relying on evidence and relying on individuals that gave statements, and the judge is then relying on reviewing that and signing off on it, and they would have immunity from any sort of lawsuit, even if they find nothing. Because it was based on good faith, and there's a good faith exception, and there's also an immunity for prosecutors that are bringing cases. So he wouldn't have a case against them. He may have, if it becomes total BS, he may have civil remedies against individuals who were making the accusations against
him. Right, right.
But he wouldn't have it against the government.
Meaning the witnesses who worked with the government and gave that information if they gave false information. Bradford Cohen, if anything is clear from this whole discussion, it's why you are such a great defense lawyer. So fantastic. Really so happy to get your perspective on this. Always enjoy talking to you. And we will see where this case progresses. Keep us on the line. We'd love to continue the conversation.
I will. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, everybody, that's all we have for you right now here on this episode of Sidebar. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jesse Weber. I'll speak to you next time.